Welcome back to Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB. We're here with a phone call from Jose James, who's one of our favorite artists on the show. We've been playing Jose since the beginning, really, with 2008 from The Dreamer. So, Jose, it's a real pleasure to have you chatting with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for the support.
You're very welcome. And how are you doing on this very nice day? We've been having some good weather, which is nice.
Yeah, I'm finally enjoying like the springtime. It just feels like it's been like a year of horrible weather.
Yeah, that is certainly, certainly true. Now, your new album comes out on June 10th. It's called While You Were Sleeping. It's coming out on Blue Note Records, so congratulations about that.
Thank you.
So, would you like to tell us a little bit about the album that's coming out and what the listeners can expect?
Well, it's definitely a musical departure for me. You know, they can expect to be surprised, I think. You know, this is me kind of spreading my wings as an artist and really drawing on all the kinds of music that I love, everything that I kind of grew up with as well. Before I even discovered jazz, actually some of these things are the things that led me to jazz, mm-hmm. like hip-hop, through the samples. But, you know, just it's sort of getting back in touch with my original love of music, you know, growing up in the 90s and watching MTV, you know, waiting at the record store for Nine Inch Nails and Nirvana's new album to come out, you know.
Right.
It seemed like every week there would be like a new classic album, you know, Illmatic or the Beastie Boys or A Tribe Called Quest, you know. So it's really kind of getting back to that spirit for me. And, you know, also really wanted to showcase my songwriting in a different way. So this album is really about songs.
Right.
It's really about stories.
Sure. And, you know, as you mentioned, this is a bit of a departure from what you've done before. And your style has truly evolved since The Dreamer to this album, which is your fifth album, correct?
It is, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing. could you describe a little bit about your artistic journey that you've taken? Because, you know, that is quite a leap. I mean, even from No Beginning, No End compared to your earlier work is very different. Could you expand a little bit about how that you have evolved as an artist these past few years?
Well, you know, I definitely trained in jazz, and I think that's, you know, the best training for any kind of musician. You know, technically, it's very demanding, like classical music, but it gives you the sort of harmonic language and freedom to make anything, you know. So I really admire, you know, Quincy Jones. I really admire Miles Davis and John Coltrane, artists like that who sort of just push themselves, you know. So, you know, when I made The Dreamer, I consider that my sort of definitive jazz album, mm-hmm. you know, like a contemporary Jose James jazz album. And, you know, at the time I was signed to Brownswood and working with Giles Peterson. And what I realized, because Giles took me all around the world, is that every country has a different idea of what jazz is.
Mm-hmm.
So I was exposed to the Finnish jazz scene, to the Tokyo jazz scene, you know, to the French jazz scene. And it's like a different flavor. It's the same, it's like the same dish, but like different spices or something, you know, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So he sort of, over the years, expanded my thinking, and actually really being around DJs, because they just love music, you know?
Yeah.
They're not caught up by, can I technically play this like a musician? They just put the vinyl down or the Serato down, and they play, you know, anything they want. So I was kind of like, wow, if Giles can do it, why can't I do it, you know? So I think he infected me with being a truly worldwide artist, and just let, you know, gave me the freedom. And Don Was is doing the same at Blue Note to just let me explore and grow as a writer. And I'm really thankful for those opportunities.
Yeah. And the thing that you do very, very, very well is meld jazz into all other types of genres, especially, you know, neo-soul and hip-hop and all of that. Would you say that that is the future that you see jazz going toward? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think the way jazz has evolved from its inception is by, you know, using different cultures in its evolution. You know, you had Spanish music, marching music, European music early on, classical harmony for bebop, Indian music, you know, in the 60s with John Coltrane, and then rock in the 70s. And right around the 80s, you know, things sort of got a little complicated because you had to, you know, embrace electronic music and you had to embrace hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of where, for me, it kind of stopped for a long time as a jazz scholar, I guess. People sort of became revisionists. That's where you had, like, Wynton Marsalis and those kind of people kind of looking back and saying, let's reconnect to New Orleans and all of that. So I think what's happening now is a new generation, people like Robert Glasper, you know, mm-hmm. who grew up with things like Nirvana and Radiohead and Tribe Called Quest as just being normal music. And so for them to sort of incorporate that into the jazz they do is not a big deal. So I think we just basically had to wait another generation to sort of solve the question of what's going to happen next. You know, people just do what they want to do. You know, I mean,
yeah.
The Bad Plus grew up with rock. They're playing rock in their stuff. And that's what this new album is about, too. It's sort of just being comfortable with all the styles of music that I love so much.
Yeah. And on this album, you are collaborating with a lot of fabulous artists. You're on this with Becca Stevens as well, who I adore. I love her. And again, Chris Bowers, as we had said, and many other musicians. If you could collaborate with any particular artist, who would be your shortlist, would be on your shortlist to do a tune with?
That's a good question. Well, I would love to do something with James Blake someday.
Yeah.
And I really love Curran Bailey Ray. I know mm-hmm. she's got a new album coming this year. She's really sweet. I've met her, and she's fantastic. You know, I think those would be probably my top two.
I would love to hear either of those collaborations. So I hope those come through for you. I would certainly love to hear them. So you're performing in Scholars at this coming weekend on the 17th and 18th. Can you tell us a little bit about what the performance at Scholars will be like and what the audience can get hyped for?
Well, I have a new addition to the band. His name is Brad Williams, and he's a guitarist from Memphis. And he's really special. You know, he's trained in jazz, but he loves that Memphis soul mm-hmm. and rock as well. So bringing him in the band really lets me go in a lot of different directions, all the way from more of a indie rock vibe to Al Green, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really cool sonically. And, you know, the rest of my band, Richard Spavin on drums from London, and Chris Bowers, as you mentioned, Solomon Dorsey on bass, you know, we're really tight. We've been working together a long time, and I think it's kind of rare for us now to be able to play in such an intimate venue like Scholars, mm-hmm. such a great sounding room. So, you know, this is really a chance for people to kind of see the inner workings of the band really close up. And, you know, those guys, man, they give it all, you know, so it's going to be explosive.
Yeah, and you'll be performing music, of course, from this new release. Will you be performing any music from your previous releases as well, or will it just be the new material?
I mean, we definitely keep our favorites in, you know, mm-hmm. but I want to feature mostly stuff from the new. You know, hopefully, I'm trying to get it so people sort of expect something new every time I come out, you know,
yeah.
At least until I'm in my 60s. And then I can just do my Vegas show or something, you know.
That's a great plan. I like that plan. Very nice. So you have this album coming out. You have a lot of performances on deck for that. What else are you working on? Are there any other projects that are kind of in the works that you're thinking of getting together? What is next for you after this album kind of, you know, does its thing?
Yeah, well, I am I'm working on a book with the photographer Jeanette Beckman. Mm. She's been documenting me all of last year and into this year, different locations, you know, around the world, and kind of different scenarios, you know, like the David Letterman and backstage at my release parties in New York and in the studio, things like that. So I've been keeping a journal and writing about the music. So, you know, this is basically my first book idea. We wanted to capture sort of like, you know, behind the scenes, like how the music gets made and what the, not only the artist is thinking about, but the band and the engineers in the studio and people like that are thinking about. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's we've been working on it for about a year, and it's pretty close, I think, to being in good shape.
Very cool. So just because you mentioned it, if somebody were to, you know, open up the Journal of Jose James, what is the craziest thing that you're willing to share? What is the craziest thing that they would read? Any story, story,
I mean,
anecdote you'd like to share?
The worst thing that happened on the tour last year was, you know, I had an amazing show in Paris with Indy Zara sitting with us, Saul Williams sitting with us, mm-hmm. you know, just 1,000 people sold out packed, and I went out to celebrate and had sold a ton of merch that night. And, you know, sometimes you just get so euphoric, you just rush out. And so we went out and had champagne and stuff, and we're just celebrating, and then I lost my wallet.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and, like, right in the middle of the tour, and, you know, it was like you wake up the next day, left it in the cab, wake up the next day, and you're just, like, tearing your room apart, and the cab's downstairs waiting.
Oh, no.
You have to go to the next city. I mean, it doesn't stop, so... That was a good lesson for me.
Jeez, did you ever get it back?
I got the wallet back, and I got my driver's license back, which is the hardest thing to replace.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't get the money back. That's what I mean. That's how you have to learn the hard way.
I totally feel you. I actually totally lost my wallet in Philadelphia last weekend, but under less stressful circumstances. But I do understand.
Right. It's just that moment where you're like, where's my wallet?
Yeah, you know? It's like the worst feeling. It's this dread. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm glad that you did get your wallet back after all, but that is a shame. And just to go off of that, what would you say has been one of the highlights that you've had of your career thus far?
Wow, I have to say, when we performed with the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra last year in Amsterdam, I mean, you know, that's considered the second best orchestra, second ranked orchestra in the world. I don't really believe in rankings and stuff, but
yeah.
I mean, after like the London Philharmonic, it's considered the next best, and it's a 100-piece orchestra, and full of a lot of really young players, which really surprised me. And I mean, if you can imagine being on stage, listening to 100 musicians interpret your music, I mean, that's something that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, Jose, for taking the time to speak with us here on the show. And for our last question, I'm going to let you play DJ for a minute. If you could pick any tune to leave, you know, an audience with, maybe that was influential to you or something that's really made an impact on you, what would you pick? Any artist,
well,
anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's the 75th anniversary of Blue Note this year, so I think I would pick Blue Train.
All right. Yes, good response. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jose, for the great interview. And again, he's performing at Scholars this coming weekend, so don't miss it. Coming up next is Blue Train from John Coltrane. Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB.
Reads and Deeds 2.
To Reads and Deeds 2.
Reads and Deeds 2.
To Reads and Deeds 2.
Listening to Reads and Deeds 2.
WECB.
On WECB.
On WECB.
On WECB.
WECB.